Whisper isn't enough. But even if every tongue was stilled here, the rocks and stones on the ground would sing. Praises to the King. The word hallelujah was never meant to be whispered. So we praise you. We sing Hosanna this morning. We thank you for your presence here among us. We thank you for the gift of your Son who gave his life so willingly on the cross, rose again on the third day to be the first fruits among many. Among we will be joined as well. We thank you for the gift of resurrection. We thank you for the gift of salvation and sanctification, which is still going on in each of our lives. May we be submissive to it. May we continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. We ask for your anointing upon our speaker today and that his message would bring you great honor and glory. And we offer it all to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Children, you are released to Children's Church. And I'd like to call Mitch up to introduce our speaker this morning.
I was going to ask for a G also, but I'm glad Marty got that covered. I've never actually met our speaker before, but when I was asked to introduce him, I did a lot of asking around, some Google research actually, so if there are any details that aren't correct, feel free to correct those when you get up here. Our speaker this morning is one of our ministry outreach workers, Larry Leach. Larry originates from the West Coast. He was an active ministry member of the Bay Area Chinese Bible Church while attending Sacramento Bible Institute until 1984 when he went to England as a missionary. Larry's wife, Kathleen, grew up in the Ephrata area, attending here at GFC. She later attended Appalachian Bible College and has taught at my former school, Twin Valley Bible Academy. Larry and Kathleen met through a mutual friend and rode each other across 3,000 miles before getting married in 1993. Sorry. Okay. Since then, Larry and Kathleen have served the people in England through the organization Biblical Ministries Worldwide. Larry serves as the pastor of Brandon Bible or Baptist Church, where they are both heavily involved in church and community outreach ministries, as well as church planning and training other church leaders. Kathleen also has recently started working part-time as a teaching assistant in a local school, specifically with kids with learning disabilities. They say that one of the biggest challenges they face in England is the apathy of the local people. At this time, please welcome our speaker, Larry Leach.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. And I think you made it correct. Everything you said was right on. So, and I don't know if you all love me or not, because I did take away one of the people that grew up in this church, and she grew up with Joyce Stauffer, and I think one of the Moya girls, right? Something. And this is a couple, Holly and Jean. I know some of the rest of you. Some of you have new faces. And so if you are a new face, let me know who you are. Some of you, I won't say this in a bad way, some of you have old faces. And my face is older. But that's good. That's good, you know, because one of the benefits of getting an older face is that what's a lot closer? Heaven, right? Someday, you know. And if he doesn't come first, I'll go meet him. So, but anyway, both young and old, you are much appreciated. We thank you very much. My wife is downstairs. If you have children who are very small, she's the one teaching them at the moment. We'll be doing that. And so she appreciates that, and she enjoys children. Being a teacher almost her whole life, and she teaches some they have learning disabilities. Autism, is that the word you all know? And I have to remember something. I'll give you two pointers. One is, first of all, I'm going to give this message in English, okay? Because I know English. That's one reason I live in England. You know what we speak in England? We speak... That's right. You all don't speak English, you speak American. You have to understand that. So when we come back, we try to understand Pennsylvania Dutch American, but so they have to help us in that, but we speak English. The other thing I want to warn you about is The last 12 years, I have been pastoring a Baptist church. Has anybody ever been in a Baptist church before? What do you know about Baptist ministers? Because they told me that, somebody told me that the man, Pastor Rice, I won't say the man, Pastor Rice, excuse me, I apologize, and I think his wife, sir, but anyway, Baptist ministers don't normally preach 25 or 30 minutes, do they? What do they preach? Yeah, you know, so if you have a lunch engagement, you can either use your cell phone to cancel that now, go someplace else or something. But no, I promise to get you out here in time. And when it is time, somebody wave, okay? You can wave. Yeah, you go. Yeah. He can sing, he can wave, right? Yeah. And I appreciated the song he sang, The Mighty Fortress. Does anybody know what happens next year? That's right. It's the 500th anniversary of when Martin Luther began what we call the Reformation. And if my advice to you would be, if you're going to go visit Germany, it's do it this year. But don't go next year, because if you go next year, you're going to be joining everybody else who's going to be going to Wittenberg. So take a caravan or a camper or something. But if you... But Europe's a wonderful place to visit, no matter what you've heard. So anyway, this morning, I'm going to talk about, I want to begin in a passage in the Old Testament in the book of Daniel. And in fact, there it is. You probably all know this person. I mean, maybe not personally, but you've read about him. And probably when he got up that morning, the last thing he was expecting to do was meet some lions. He's probably getting up that morning to do what he always did as the prime minister, the biggest country in the world, the most powerful. He was the number two man under the king, and he ruled. He did an excellent job. He had been doing it for at least 70 years, and so he was just going to do all the things that he normally did. Probably had a cup of coffee for breakfast or whatever they do. And it's like some of you, a cup of tea, ate breakfast. He went to work, and he was met with a challenge. And the challenge was he was told he couldn't pray to the God he had been praying for. He only could pray to the king. That was it. For 30 days, he could only pray for the king. Well, Daniel thought about it. He didn't think long about it, I don't think. And the next thing you know, he's praying, but he's not praying to the king. And somebody's looking at him, and someone says, Daniel is disobeying the king. It's the only thing they could catch him on. They couldn't catch him on anything else. His life, as far as we know, is one of the most perfect lives. Obviously, he was a sinner. We know that. But next to Christ, he's the one person that it doesn't say anything bad about. And so he did everything good from God's perspective. And so he was caught. He was caught praying the true God. And he would probably understand a bit of what society is becoming more and more like for you and me. When I first went to England, it was a place where we could speak freely. We could do a lot of things that we cannot probably do now. The United States was a lot different, you know. We have people in England, they go out in the streets, and all they want to do is what? Preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. They've been doing it for 200 years. You know, the London City Mission. But more and more people are getting arrested and stopped and taken to jail, all because they do is they mention Jesus Christ. And also, people ask them questions. And it's like one man was arrested because two teenagers asked him a question: what do you think of homosexuality? A same-sex marriage is the way we term it. And he gave him an honest answer. He gave him a biblical answer. He was reported to the police. They arrested him. They took him to jail, and they kept him. He almost died because he needed medicine for diet. He was a diabetic. They wouldn't even give him the medicine. And finally, the police said, "What? Guess what? After a week, they made a mistake." And I think he got an award of 20 to 25,000 pounds. But you know, that would have never happened when I first went to England. That was only in 1984. But that's the way the world's changing. Things are happening in this country, which who knows? I mean, they're talking about same-sex bathrooms, I think, right? North Carolina, Texas. We never thought about things like that. We just knew it was wrong. But now people are being threatened, sued, whatever else. And that's the kind of society we live in. So Daniel lived in a kind of society that, you know, he was by himself, really. There wasn't probably a lot of Christians. We only know of three other men. But he wanted to do something. You know what? His life was interrupted. He got thrown in a den of a bunch of lions. And then there's this man. His name's Daniel, too. And, you know, 2 years ago, he got up, and he went to work, and all he wanted to do was bake. Cupcakes, cakes, scones, biscuits. You people in Pennsylvania, Dutch country, know what baking is all about, don't you? How many like good bakery goods? How many stop at someplace along the road and buy good bakery goods? A muffin. How many are muffin addicts? Yes, go ahead. You can raise your hand. I like them too. How many like cranberries? And blueberries? Chocolate? You know, that bad stuff. You know? Okay, you know what? This is the kind of, this is what Daniel does. He's a baker. And he got up one morning. He went to his shop. His third generation, his grandfather had started this bakery. He lives in Northern Ireland. He works in Belfast. And all he was going to do that day was bake cakes and bread and cupcakes. Can you imagine a job like that? I couldn't imagine a job like that. Half of it wouldn't be around. You can tell. You know. In fact, who are Ray and Jamie? Is it Ray and Jamie? Are they here? You, okay. I think we're coming to your house, aren't we? All right. What's that? You canceled it. I think I saw your name as being, I think they're supposed to welcome you as members, is that right? I think I can talk. Who's on the board? Huh? Okay, boy. I want you to look at these two people before you really. No, that's okay. That's all right. But you know, he went to work that day, and somebody came in and ordered a cake. Like, you know, they do in the bakeries around her. Beautiful bakeries you have around her, I have to confess. Somebody ordered a cake in this bakery. And in Belfast, Northern Ireland, 2 years ago. And this is the man who did it, Gareth. Now, he looks like a nice guy. Probably you walk down the street, you pass people like him all the time. He has a normal job, probably like anybody else. And you know, the Asher Bakery Company bakes cakes. They make great cakes. And it wasn't the baking of the cake, and it wasn't about who this person was. It's what he wanted on that cake. And the Asher's Bakery Company said, you know what, we're not going to do it. And this man got upset, and he decided to sue the company. In fact, Daniel Asher, he said, I tell you what, we'll bake you a cake, we just won't put what you want on it. But we'll still bake you a cake. In fact, maybe it could have been even, we'll give you half off or something like that. But he didn't say that, but I would have done that, but you know. But, you know, he said, this man said, no, you discriminated against me, which isn't true. Later, they found out that this man happened to be a homosexual. But they didn't know that. They just think it was a customer like anybody else. It didn't stand out like anybody else. He just went, but it's the cake, which looked like that. That's the cake they want baked. So the Ashes said, no, we're not going to do that because that's against what we believe. And I have to remember, and let me tell you this, Daniel and Amy, his wife, are born-again believers. If you're a believer to her, they're in your family. They're your brother and sister. They go to church in Northern Ireland. I don't know what kind of church, but they go to a gospel-believing church. They love Jesus Christ. They love his word. They love to obey him. And mainly in their business, what they want to do is obey God. In fact, they say, we love God and we want to obey him. Not just in church, not just in home, not just where the kids are, when they get older, go to school, but where we go to work. Christianity is not something we just believe in our head and we only have it on Sundays and it's only a building that we participate with anything, but it's a lifestyle. And so they wanted to practice that. So they refused to bake that cake, and they got taken to court for it. Now, I have to remember something else about Northern Ireland. In England and in Wales and in Scotland, same-sex marriage is legal. You can do it. It's legal. It's not against the law anymore. We passed that before you did, before it happened to you with those five people in Washington. And so that happened. But in Northern Ireland, it's still illegal. It's against the law. And so this man was asking these people to bake a cake, which was really against the law at that time. It's still against the law. And you know what? The Ashes lost the case. They were told that they discriminated against this man, even though it wasn't the man they were discriminating against. It was the message. And so they've taken it now to the Court of Appeals, and they're bouncing it around the law courts. We don't know what's going to happen. But that's the couple. And again, a very warm couple, very tremendous couple in the sense that they've given a tremendous testimony. They've been on BBC, which is our big TV radio station. They've talked about Jesus Christ. They talked about how they love him. They've done interviews. They have been more of a witness the last 2 years than they ever thought possible when he woke up that morning. He's been a witness in Belfast in his bakery, but never around the whole world. But that's what he's doing now. He's being a witness. There's a thing called the Christian Institute in the UK, and that's covered. That's helped him. I think in this country you have a family, what is it, FRC, is that right? Am I getting that correct? Family... Thank you. I knew it was something like that. Tony Perkins, is that his name? Yes, okay. I say that because I'm not a great person with names. I look at your face and I say, I know him, I know her, but who are they? You know, and but the name, the face, like them. I know these two in the front row, or the second row, I should say. I know they're the Overleys. You know, that's because I know the son and the daughter-in-law and. My wife knows him because their son was a student to my wife. Can you believe that? I won't get into that. I'll get into trouble if I tell you how old my wife is. But anyway, but she used to teach their son, Andy, and he was in England for a while. And but you know, names I don't associate with, but with face. I don't know how I got involved with that. But anyway, these people gave a great testimony. We do this because we love the Lord. We do this because Christianity is our life, not something, a little part of our life. We prayed to God, and he's answered prayer like he's never answered before. They've gotten over 8,000 letters supporting him. When Daniel and Amy walk down Belfast, somebody knows them, they walk up to him and say, we're supporting you, we're praying for you. This is right in the street. The customers do that. You know, they've had a lot of great support, and they think the court's wrong. And so they stood for Christ in a difficult situation, even though they've lost the case, they're taking it beyond. In fact, they even have support from these two men. Now, one of these two men you probably know, right? The man who's bald, you know. Who's he? Anybody can tell me who he is? Yes. How many are Star Trek people? Oh, yes. How many know who James Kirk is? Okay, good. A plus for you people today, you know. Mr. Green, where's Mr. Green? Is he gone? No, there he is. He got an A plus in Sunday school because he's a Manchester United. He calls it soccer team. We call it football team, but you all know what we're talking about. So, but you know, he's an advocate. He's an active person in the sense of wanting free rights for everybody. Doesn't matter if you're Christian or gay. He wants you to have your rights. But he says, you know what? The judgment against the bakery was wrong, because they weren't against the person, it was against the message on the cake. And this man is Peter Thatcher. He's a gay rights advocate as well. He's really for them. In fact, he believes they should have more rights. But he says in this case, like Patrick Stewart said, it wasn't against the man that they were against, it was against the message. And if you go against what the message is, if you make them go against what they believe, then that means you can walk in a bakery run by a Muslim and ask them to do what? A cartoon of Muhammad, and they don't do it, what could you do? You could sue them, even though that's against what they believe. And they'll probably burn you down if you do it. Or blow you up or whatever. But it means, like, if you are a Jewish person, a Jewish baker, and somebody comes in and says, you know what, I don't believe in the Holocaust, I want that on a cake, you couldn't refuse them, even though you knew it was wrong. So that's what they're saying, is that they went against the principle, what they believe, not against the person, and yet they were told that what they did was wrong. And so that's the battle we all face. And so we're going to talk a little bit about no fear, about choosing for Christ. And you know, we all face that. Maybe not as dynamic as this man did, but again, Daniel Asher, one morning, wasn't expecting to face what he did. But he's handled it wonderfully well, because he has a keen church, he has a keen faith. Most of all, he has a keen God. And who is that God? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, it's not only that Daniel Asher stands for Christ, but who stands for Daniel Asher? Jesus Christ, doesn't he? No, that's the great thing about our God. It's not that we just stand for him, but he backs us up. He gives us support. And some of you know that. Some of you have gone through tough times. It may not be what they go through. Maybe you've gone through physical problems. Some of you have gone through cancer. Maybe some of you are going through cancer. You've lost somebody, leukemia, cancer, whatever, dementia, Alzheimer's, mention anything else out there. That's a tough battle to face, you know? But Christ is standing for us. And no matter what we do in the ministry, no matter what you do or we do in England, Christ is standing for us as long as we stick to what? The scriptures and the word of God. And that's what these people did. So let me give you some interesting insight. First of all, you need to know what can be changed. Daniel chapter 1, Daniel was asked about eating something. Remember, he was caught, he was taken to Babylonia. He was one of the young people that they captured when they conquered Israel. And in chapter 1, he makes a statement. He says, but Daniel's proposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested the chief of the eunuchs that he may not defile himself. In other words, he was being asked to eat food that the king thought was good, but it had probably been sacrificed to the Babylonian gods. It would defile Daniel. So Daniel asked something. He says, look it, I don't want to eat this food, but give me this other stuff, like water, vegetables, fruit. How many like vegetables? How many like cake better than vegetables? Okay, how many like a Chick-fil-A filet burger or whatever, a Chick-fil-A burger more than vegetables? I see that hand in the back. I saw that. I hadn't even finished the question. You got to wait till I finish the question before you can raise your hand. But, you know, we like delicate food, don't we? We like good food. But Daniel says, you know what? All this stuff that the king's given me, Nebuchadnezzar, it's going to defile me. It's going to make my life miserable before God. I'm going to sin against God. So I don't want to eat this. But he just didn't say no. What did he do? He made a suggestion to these people, what? I'm going to eat this other food, which I won't defile me, and I'll still meet the test. I'll still be firm, strong. And so he offered a suggestion which is different than what was, you know, being offered. The ashes offered this man, Gareth Lee, what? A cake, but with a different message. You know, they went against baking the cake. It's just the message that was on the cake. And there's going to be times in your life you're going to be faced with a difficulty, an option, a challenge, an opportunity. And you're going to say, I don't like that, but you know what? I'll do this instead. It's not necessarily wrong. It's just different. And there are many times in our lives when that is presentable, you know. And so we have to remember that. I always think of it as recognize the challenge and opportunities. Look at the opportunity. I mean, it's wrong to participate, let's say, in a homosexual lifestyle. But if I meet a homosexual, I'm not going to beat him up, put his, you know, knock his head off, anything like that. You know what my first thinking would be, like anybody else I'd meet? What's the first thing you want to do with this person? You want to share with him who? Jesus Christ. One of the greatest verses I ever read is 1 Corinthians 6:11. I believe that's the verse from Paul. He's preaching. He's writing to the Corinthians. Corinth is a vile city, but there's a group of believers there. And in chapter 6, verse 11, it says, starting back at verse 10, he says, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor reviers, nor extortioners will hurt the kingdom of God. And in verse 9, he mentions, nor fornicators, nor idolaters, adulterers, nor homosexuals, sodomites, and all that. But then in verse 11, and such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You know, they made a choice. Some of these people made a choice not to identify with a lifestyle, but they hung around with different people that may not be the most comfortable people to hang around with. And you know what they did? They witnessed to these people, and some of these people got saved. And there's a whole bunch of people out there like that. The only time they're going to hear about Jesus Christ is because somebody like you, me in England, is going to talk to them about Christ. And so we have the opportunity. We have the challenge to present the message the right way. Right now, we can still go up in the market at Christmas and present. We can have a booth, a tent, and we can present the message of what the true Christmas is all about. We're the only people doing that. Everybody else is learning about Father Christmas. Y'all know who Father Christmas is? That's, you know, who we, well, you call him somebody else. We call him Father Christmas. But that's what they're talking about. And he gives gifts, and he's all happy and cheerful. But we talk to them about Jesus Christ. We present Christ to them because that's what Christmas is really all about. But we have that opportunity. And so, you know, we need to know the things that we can be changing or turn around so that we don't have to do this. We can do this instead, okay? There's some things that's true on. There's other things, you know, we have to also know what can never be changed. There's some things we will never bend a bow down upon. Like if somebody asks you to deny Jesus Christ as the true God, that's something we should never do. We might be tempted to do it, especially if there's a sword at our neck. If I believe correctly, there were a group of people back in Libya who the IS caught, and they gave them a choice. You can either deny your faith or else you get your head chopped off. That's the kind of world we live in. And you know what all of them did? They all got their heads chopped off. but they didn't deny Christ. And the IS, you know what they thought? They thought they were killing them all. Actually, you know what they were doing? They were all sending them to who? The God they didn't know. Yeah, they were sending them to Christ, you know? The place that he was preparing, it was prepared for them. They weren't dead. They were living. They were more alive then than they had been a minute ago. And hopefully that will never hit you all. You know, I know some of the stuff in Europe, a couple weeks ago, some people in Brussels, they all thought they were going to work, but they never made it. A couple months before that, a bunch of people thought they were going to a music concert in Paris, France, but they didn't make it through. You all know about that story, I'm sure. And some people think Europe's all going and wild and blowing up and all this. Actually, most of Europe is very safe, okay? I know because I travel it, and so far nobody's done anything to me, and hopefully it won't do anything to you. But you know what? Every once in a while, something does happen. But I could say that about this country, right? I mean, something happens in New York City, and that can be dangerous. But you don't think about it in Pennsylvania. But that's the thing you have to remember. We need to stand. We're not going to bow down to what other people tell us to believe on certain issues. Homosexuality is wrong. That's not because of what the Supreme Court says. It's not because of what Parliament says. It's because it's what Jesus Christ, the living God, says. And if that's wrong, then we're all in trouble. And when these three Hebrews were told they must bow down, what did they do? They didn't bow down. They didn't get away. They didn't escape. They still got thrown into the fire. And what did God do when the Babylonians threw them in the fire? God protected them, right? Some people he protects. I know people who stand for the faith and he doesn't protect. At least not from our, he doesn't keep alive, if we want to say it that way. One of the things that first struck me after I became a believer, somebody gave me a book called Through the Gates of Splendor. Anybody ever read the book Through Gates of Splendor? If you haven't read it, find a copy. If you don't, the library has a copy. There's a reuse it shop right next to you over here. Go look in the book section. You might find a copy for 50 cents or whatever, but I'll go to the bookstore. It used to be called Berean. No, but Providence, right? What's it called? Yeah, that's right, Berean Providence. What's it called now? Okay, you know where it's at. How many of you use computers? Oh, yes. What's the name of the company you buy stuff from? Okay, you know. Look, type it in, Through Gates of Splendor. You know, there's five men, decent, godly, wonderful guys, and all they wanted to do is what? They wanted to share their faith of Jesus Christ with a bunch of Indians in Ecuador who had never heard, and they lost their lives. At least they lost their human lives. But boy, did they send a message throughout the world. That, you know, how many people went to the mission field because of those five men? How many that they set the example? And it still happens today. You know, I think one of the people who were killed in Africa recently, and there was a coffee shop, Boko or something, you know how to pronounce this better than I do. You know the group down there that kills people, the Muslim fanatics? I think they shot up a coffee shop. And there was a man sitting in that coffee shop who was what? He was a missionary. All he was doing was sharing, you know, he wanted to share Christ. He was supposed to meet somebody that day. When he left that morning, the last thing he ever thought about was he was going to make it to heaven. But when he got shot, that's where he went. I think his wife is still there. You know, you never know what may happen, but you need to stand for what's true. When Daniel was asked to pray for somebody else, he didn't do that. He knew who the true God was. And you may be asked to do that. If you're young, you're probably going to have a worse life in the sense of being a Christian than a lot of these older people had. Because when I was younger, it was the part of society, it was the culture. It fitted in. But now a lot more of our freedoms as Christians are being taken away. They're being, because really the people out there don't know what? They don't know biblical truth. They have a different God. And really the battle's not against all you people. It's not against me or any other missionary. Who's it really against? Yeah, it's against Jesus Christ. It's not you personally they're after. It's against Jesus Christ. It's that battle of good and evil again. You read it through all the Old Testament. Read through the Psalms. What did God's people do? Even though he delivered them, he sent them through the Red Sea, he fed them every day, he gave them water, he supplied every need they had. Their clothes lasted 40 years. Boy, that would be great. Wouldn't you like clothes to last 40 years? Wouldn't you like to have food every morning? You go out and open the door and there it is waiting for you? Wouldn't you like not to pay the water company? Every day he did that for, 2-3 million people. And you know what they say in the Psalms about those people? They forgot God. They rebelled against God. They became stiff-necked against God. We could become easily stiff-necked. We got to remember the things that don't change, and one of them is God doesn't change. His word doesn't change. We don't agree to what the culture wants. We agree to what God wants. And when we stand for the living God, he stands with us. He supplies the grace, the strength, the wisdom. He may not do it the way you and I like to do it, see it, but he does it, do it. The last thing to remember is him. Recognize it's his battle. It's his battle. And I think it's this last Sunday. Last Sunday was Easter, right? I think that's right. Yeah, we were in England. I had to get my mind in focus. But you know what last Sunday should teach every one of us? It's not only is the battle God's, but who's the victor? Yeah, God is, right? And any time you begin to doubt that God's the victor, you remember there's an empty tomb. And we have a resurrected Savior. He's alive from the dead. Alive, never to die again. And that's the God that stands with you, whatever challenge you face. Okay? And we all face challenges, people. We all face them. You know, some of you face unsafe family members. Maybe it's a boss at work. Maybe it's somebody at school. Maybe it's a disease. Maybe it's somebody, a customer who comes into a shop and he hates you and he shows it by the way he treats you. And we all face those different things. And we have a great opportunity to represent him who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He stands with us as we stand with him. He backs us up. There's a verse in Hebrew that says what? I will never leave you or... That's right. You all know that. That's what you need to keep doing, putting those scriptures in your life. Stand. And I know, and you know what? It's going to be tough in some of those stands. And that's why you need him, and he's there, but you also need each other. Look around, you know. You all ought to support each other. And I think this must be one of the most blessed places to live in the world, because I know that not only is it a grace fellowship, but if I go down the road 10 miles one way and the other, I'll probably pass 5-6 other churches just like you, right? I mean, that's you people are loaded. Pennsylvania, Lancaster? Did I get that right? No, I know. If you want to hear Lancaster said the correct way, talk to my wife, okay? If you want to hear it say the California way, Lancaster or something like that. Lancashire, that's what we say in England. Lancashire, that's a county there. But you know, you people are rich in spiritual history. And you need to stand firm here. And you know, one of the biggest challenges I face at the moment, to me it's not a great big challenge, it's not a death-defying challenge, but you know what people in England ask me when they come in on coffee mornings on Thursday? And this isn't a joke, and again, I don't know where you vote, how you vote, but they say, do the Americans really expect to vote for Donald Trump? I mean, really, they ask me that. And so I try to explain why people are voting for him. You know, I don't think they necessarily love Donald Trump. I just think they may like some of the things he says sometimes. Again, I just say, you know what, pray for America. And we do. You pray for us, okay? And we need to pray for each other. That's one of the other things we can do. So when you begin to get afraid, and I don't know all your situations that you have, but when you begin to get afraid, you know what you can really do? Go to him. Remember him. Remember him. So often, I think we forget about him. You'll have lives. You'll have futures. Remember him. He cares about you. He cares about you more than you can ever imagine. You know? And Peter says what? You take all your cares to him because why? He careth for you. Father, we have a wonderful opportunity as a group of believers to stand for Jesus Christ. And really the battles that we face as believers in America and in Europe, it's not really battles against us personally. Really, it's a spiritual battlefield. These people don't have biblical mindsets. They don't have biblical worldviews. So I pray that you may strengthen these people, that you would strengthen Grace Fellowship and all the other churches to stand for the truth of Jesus Christ and for his word. And that you would show them the things that need to change, that can be changed, to help change them, to maybe do things differently. But then the things that stand firm, that never change, that they will stand firm in the armor of God and those things throughout eternity, starting now. Help these people, because some of them might be going through issues already. But make sure that we all handle things in a biblical way. And I pray this for myself and for all these people. In that precious name of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Amen.